Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
It's due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear, and that's what I like to hear. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? We started off. Unfortunately, not Monday, because we had some technical difficulties and we could not get on. Tuesday, we started off with Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And started off talking about the son that stabbed his father on Father's Day. Yeah, I guess it was because it was just a little too early to be waking somebody up. They didn't say why. But we know that a pencil is what they did. He stabbed their father with a pencil. Or he stabbed his father with a pencil. And unfortunately, Dad spent the day on the bench showing everybody his war wound. Yes. And the bodybuilder that thought he could get away with Social Security fraud. Yes, how are you in a competition? And Instagram always tells the story. Yeah, they don't seem to, they don't seem to pay attention to this little thing, you know, called keep it to yourself. Stop putting everything out on social media. And we talked about the robber in TD Bank. Well, some might call it robbery. Some might call it a blessing. He walked up into TD Bank and saw the drawer of the ATM door open and helped himself. Excuse me, to two sleeves of money. And ended up with $200,000. And we talked about, you know, what do Christians think about stuff like that? I mean, you know, we kind of bounced into, you know, it's a blessing. You know, you can't tell some folks what's a blessing and what's not a blessing, because something like that would definitely appear to be a blessing to some people. Yes, the Lord had that door open just for them. And that's how they got their blessing that day. Yeah, what was the likelihood that it would be open and they would be the next person coming into the bank to use that ATM? And, you know, they had gone to two other ATMs, and those ATMs, the line was really long, and, you know, then the other one was broke, and you know, they just happened to be at that one. You know how it is. Well, that took us to the conversation of, you know, what other things do some people believe is a blessing, and that he's my husband came up. That Boaz. Yes, that Boaz business showed up again. And, yeah, some people really go down just like that. Yeah. You know how we do. Well, it was Wild Wednesday before we know it. And those COVID numbers, they are coming down. Mm-hmm. They're coming down. Well, Vivian gave us our wild story of the week. How the man, you know, he faked his kidnapping. Yes, how he was kidnapped and the bag was put over his head and he was held and all of this kind of stuff just to make his ex-wife so sorry for him again when he goofed up. Yeah, he blew it. He figured he'd come back with this story. And we talked about whether that was love or not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we decided that, nah, that wasn't love. Not the kind of love that we're supposed to be exemplifying, at least. Okay. Well, the ladies were in the house, and we talked about doing things the right way when helping others. We talked about that reliability. You know, how can you be, you know, in the right way when you can't even be reliable? No. People got to guess as to whether you really come in or not. Are you really going to show up? Are you going to show up with the chicken that you said you were going to bring? Or are you going to show up with the meatloaf? Or 5 pieces too short of chicken because somebody even got at it in the house? Yeah. You got to be reliable. You really got to be reliable. Another one that I really liked was the moral excellence. You know, really having some level of moral excellency. You know, you can't just do things any old kind of way. You can do things with your moral compass all the way off either. No, it just don't go down like that. And what about being thorough? Getting that job done completely. You know how many people, you know, claim that they're doing things and, you know, if they only do it halfway. You know them kind of people? Yeah, I do too. And, you know, you really try to get them to understand that in order to do what needs to be done the right way, you have to go the distance. You really have to go all the way in order to show someone that you really care. You can't halfway do a job. Mm-mm. And it's sad because, you know how many times you got to tell grown people this thing? Yeah. Well, we closed down our Wednesday with our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlotte. And you know that was a bang. And we're so happy that we're able to close out our Wednesdays, you know, on such a high note. Yes. All right. Well, yesterday, we got to talking. And you know how we do. You know, we got to talking about this Therapeutic Thursday. Well, some young people thought it was therapeutic to bust up in somebody's $8 million home and go absolutely buck wild. Yes, they said they made the front room, the foyer, a boxing ring. They came out with the people's belongings. Yes, things were stolen. They had gone in the closets and tried on the people's clothing. And yeah, they were just all out of sorts. And we talked about grandma and how she locked a six-year-old, one of the children, up in the shed, didn't feed him all day. And it seems to have been a pattern for what the little boy had said. You know, he was tied up in the shed in a bin with the rats and insects, and thank God for a neighbor. Now, some of the D-Time crew and the neighbors being nosy. You know, I guess it's a matter of opinion. And he just talked long enough to know that he was being, you know, held in there in a certain way, had been in there a certain time. And he called the 911. Called the police, got the police out, and, you know, thank God that not only was grandma arrested, but so was her boyfriend. Yeah. Well, we got to chatting about the worst movies of all time. And, you know, some of those titles that came up on the list, we expected. You know, when Brother Al said, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, yeah, just the title alone, you kind of know that that was going to be a big bust. We also got a vote for I'ma Get Ya Sucker. Oh, my. Well, that brought out a war against the Duke Time crew members. And I'm Gonna Get You Sucker was not the only one on the list. A Lowdown Dirty Shame was on the list on the internet. And, yeah, we kind of disagree with that one, too, with Wayman. What else? Oh, Pastor Tail almost got kicked off when he mentioned Sparkle. Oh, my. You know, I know he said he wasn't an Irene Cara fan, but that's all right because there was a whole cast, not just Irene Cara. So, you know, he may not be on today because I may block his microphone. And I'll see if I want him back on today, if he can redeem himself from that one. Well, we had a barrel of laughs yesterday. We really laughed yesterday. It was funny. And Brother Al definitely got his talk on yesterday about Barabbas being the worst movie of all time for him. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I tell you, go back and listen. You know, I haven't said that in a while. Go back and listen to our week. It was a short week, but it was a good week. We were not short of information and laughs. And that brings us to this morning. Thank God that it is Freestyle Friday, and we get to do whatever we want to do. And I say we get to getting the men on, shutting it down, and going back to bed. Oh, yeah. It is the end of the week, and we're waiting to hear from the men. I got some news, but too moved by the news today. Yeah, I'm getting more and less excited. But you know, sometimes that happens with Pastor Stephan. Once the D-Time crew joins me, kind of turns things around. So hopefully that'll happen today, because I'm really not moved by the news. And we got this gun control and new laws that they're trying to pass. And I really got to do some research, because I actually came across a couple of different articles yesterday, and I had several of you send in information. So thank you, as Vivian would say, thank you to our D-Time listeners who submit the stories and information. And it's about that time for us to take that break. So make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell someone that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
One in seven people you know live with migraine. Show you care and wear a pair of sunglasses in support of your loved ones living with this debilitating disease.
I wear a pair for my wife.
I wear a pair for my brother.
We wear a pair for each other.
I wear a pair for my granddaughter.
I wear a pair for my mom.
We wear a pair for our coworkers.
I wear a pair for myself.
This June, take a photo wearing shades. Post it to social media with hashtag ShadesForMigraine, then challenge others to take part. Learn more at shadesformigraine.org.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome or welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Ooh. God has been so generous. Oh my goodness. He's been so generous. He's been so gracious to us as he has allowed us to get all the way here, all the way here to the end of the week. And others didn't make it. Plain and simple as that. Others didn't make it. And we should be nice and grateful for that. And I am so happy that I've gotten an opportunity to spend the week with you. And what more can we really ask for? You know, each day brings on new possibilities, new promises, new hopes. And, you know, a reason to smile. Everything may not be everything that you want it to be, but we have our needs. We have, you know, our family, we have our friends, we have our loved ones, and, you know, it's a lot to be grateful for. A lot to be grateful for. So what are we talking about today? I got some news, and I'm telling you, I'm not that excited about it. So, you know what? I'm going to invite you to 347-285-7777. If you got something you want to talk about outside of the gun control thing, because I want to, the new gun laws, I want to do my little research over the weekend, because I did see some information the other day, actually. I pulled up some information, and I just haven't had an opportunity to really go through it. So, you know, other than that, if you got something else that you want to talk about, we could talk about it. Because, like I said, I got some news here, and I'm not too excited about it. Well, I do want to talk about, there are a couple of updates that I did see. And one, Vivian mentioned this to me over the weekend, but yesterday I came across the story last night. And remember we talked about the little boy that were 8 and 6 years old, and the story went that the 8-year-old had been bullying the six-year-old, and he had that tennis ball that they say had been dipped in gasoline somehow, and he threw it at the little boy. Well, mom of the accuser has a different story to tell. So she says that her son, the eight-year-old who was painted the bully, broke down in tears as he, you know, recalled being shunned by his close friends who feared that he was some violent little bully. So eight-year-old Stefano, you know, he was accused a couple of months ago of, remember little Dominic, and I told you the little picture was so sad with his little face all bandaged up and all the swelling that you could see underneath there. You know, they have this video that they now have, and they are showing, that shows them playing together before the little boy was caught on fire, you know, got caught on fire. So Stefano, who's been trying to tell everybody that he is not the bully that he has been painted to be, you know, he's been talking about this for the last few months. And he's been, you know, trying to explain to people that it just didn't go down the way the other mom of Lil Dominic told the story. And he says, they told me to get away from the house and don't light me on fire. That's what other children have said to him after they, you know, heard about what he did to the other little boy. And his mom is saying that, you know, he's been really ostracized and, you know, thrown to the side by all of his little friends, you know, even some that he was as close to like a brother. And, you know, they didn't want to play with him anymore. And he's really been going through. And, you know, I can imagine he's been ostracized because, you know, all it takes is for one person to tell the story. And everybody got this, you know, they don't hold their kids, you know, close to them, tell their child, you know, don't play with, you know, little Stefano, because, you know, he's a bully and he sets people on fire. And you know how it goes down. Come on. You know what you would do if it was your kid. And mom says that he's really been ostracized in a way that has really hurt her heart, and she really doesn't appreciate how her former neighbor has been painting, you know, her son as this bully, and it's not fair. And, you know, they don't show the video, at least in my article that I pulled up, but they say, you know, well, mom is saying of little Dominic that it did go down like that. Now, what they're saying happened was the children were all playing. And it shows four children playing, including Dominic, the one who was set on fire, and Stefano, the one who was accused of bullying. And it shows them kicking this ball, this soccer ball around. And it shows them lighting fires and playing together. Now, my question is, who was doing the videotaping? That's the part that I couldn't get. So instead of you stopping the kids, you videotaping? Because I don't know about this being no videotape on the side, video camera on the side of the house. Well, this is all going on in the backyard, so very rarely do people have video cameras in the backyard. But nonetheless, they say nothing in the video shows the other boys targeting Dominic. They say who caught fire after either kicking or stepping on a plastic cup filled with gasoline that was in flames. And they say that the Bridgeport police also confirms that there was no evidence of foul play. And because there's no video showing that any of the children did anything to Dominic deliberately, they are squashing the idea that Lil Stefano is a bully. So, you know, they always say video tells the story, and it does. I mean, it really shows what happens. I'm still stuck on who was doing the videotape and why they was kicking around a soccer ball, setting fires, and all of this kind of stuff. 86. Who was videotaping? Somebody with a camera phone, because they ain't got no video cameras out these days that people are going to go get. And, you know, Lil Dominic's mom, you know, the GoFundMe collected nearly $600,000. And she said they were going to get a new home and, you know, get away from Lil Stefano. She still sticks to her story. She's still sticking to the story that her son was bullied, and she's not changing. She said that about $1,000 has been refunded to some of the donors after the video appeared to contradict her story. And she said it's his money. He's the one who went through all of that, and he deserves every dime. So, I don't know. I don't know. If it says that the little boy, if it's just the video shows that the little boy caught fire from playing with fire like all the other ones, and he just happened to catch on fire, and it could have been Lil Stefano or one of the other two kids. Whew. I just say they need a better babysitter, one who's not going to be videotaping, because I don't know about this thing here. I think that was annoying. I think that was quite annoying. All right, so that's one of the stories that I got. Just wanted to definitely, you know, get that cleared up. And I think it deserves getting cleared up. You know, I always look for follow-up stories to some of this stuff that we talk about. And I am kind of glad that it didn't show Lil Stefano as being an 8-year-old bully, because that was a hard story to read. If you remember, we were really caught off guard with that one, because that was pretty heinous if it went down the way they initially told the story. So I'm glad that Lil Stefano has had his say and the video is, you know, surfacing, and or it has surfaced. And now maybe some of his little friends can, you know, hug him again. Now let's talk about this thing for a second here. So, all right. So you have been pegged as this little boy who's been bullying, and you threw this ball that had been soaked in gasoline, and threw it deliberately at Lil Dominic, and that's how Dominic caught on fire. So mom says that, you know, he's been really ostracized by some of the closest friends he's even called brothers. Now, come on, Pastor Charlotte. You know, come on, Auntie Pam and Auntie Brenda, and, you know, and Kenny, and those of you who know Pastor Steph. If you heard that Pastor Steph did this, would you really not talk to me anymore? Now, we know we told my kids. We know we told my kids. And we know kids can be really cruel. You know, especially if you got parents putting batteries in their back. But my question becomes, you know, would you really, okay, so I'm really going to believe this thing so much till I'm not going to talk to you anymore. That's the other thing that kind of crossed my mind. And I'm like, wow, do we, you know, she says, oh, they were as close as brothers. So are you going to stop talking to your brother because it's something that you heard happen? Now, remember, there was no video in the beginning. The video now surfaces. It was just, you know, word of mouth. Someone said that this is what had happened. So do we, is that what we do as adults? You know, we hear somebody did something and now we're not talking to them or we're completely ostracizing them and, you know, we don't want to be bothered with them anymore based on what we hear. I don't know. Give me a holler. 347-285-7777. Is that what we do? You know, it begs asking. It begs asking. Hold on. You know, is that what we do? Do we grown people act like that too? Because I'm going to be honest, I ain't got a whole lot of friends. And I have not had, you know, a rumor surface about me. So I don't know if that's how folk act. You know, I don't have any of my men on yet. So they're not, oh yeah, Brother Algie Joyce, I guess he can tell me later if he's ever experienced something like that. But you know what? I want to hear from you all. I want to hear from you. Let me know, you know, if this is how it goes down nowadays. Okay? So, you know, do you back up completely? You know, you just, or do you just kind of, you know, kind of shy away a little bit? You know, I ain't messing with you as much. What do we do? What are we doing these days? Help me. Help me, you know. So remember, I need that update on what we do as friends these days. So, what else are we talking about? All right, we got another grandma story here. Is it a grandma story? No, it's not a grandma story. It's just a couple. They say this Idaho couple was found guilty of starving their adopted daughter to the point of this little five-year-old going into cardiac arrest over the level of neglect. So we have Byron, 57, and Gwendolyn, 45, who were both convicted of severely mistreating this little girl. And she was only allowed to eat vegetable protein and forced to sleep in the laundry room. Now, this goes back a couple of years because, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit for them to get to, you know, to court. And back in 2019, they were charged with injury to a child and an enhancement for infliction of great bodily injury. So they say between the ages of 3 and 6, this is how they treated the little girl. And she only ate mush. And again, she slept in the laundry room on a thin mat and no blankets. And this is someone else kind of giving this account as to what happened to the little girl. And they had other, this is what I don't understand. They had other, other adopted kids, and they ate regular food. And they sat while the little girl sat in the high chair in the corner. I don't understand. It seems to be, it's crazy. Because we, again, it was where a few weeks ago where the little boy was being hung upside down on the door and the other little girl didn't have this happen to her. You had yesterday, you know, the other kids were kept in the house while the six-year-old was kept in the shed. And here today's story is the same thing. So they say she was forced to drink 3/4 of a gallon of water each day. And if she needed to go to the bathroom more than once an hour, she was told to go outside and use a 5-gallon bucket. And she was also forced to pick up dog poop as a chore. And they said she was extremely skinny. Her skin was dry. She looked unhealthy. Well, I guess so. If all you eating is mush, there's no nutrients in mush. Now, the skin being dry is a little, you know, a little surprising because, you know, she only drank water. And they said that she ended up suffering a heart attack. Can you imagine that little body enduring a heart attack? Oh, my gosh. And they said, you know, she literally had to live like that for those 3 years. Now, one thing I'm not too sure on. Well, did she die? I don't know. Is she still living? That's the other thing, and I've been looking at this, and I'm not picking that up, whether she's still living or not. But they say that they'll be sentenced in September, and they could face 20 years in prison. So I don't think she passed away, because I think they might have to suffer a little more than 20 years for that. Okay. But I don't understand how you treat one child one way and the other children the other way. And that has to be pretty traumatizing to the children who are watching this. I would like to think so. It can't be easy watching this go on. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks that way, but I can't imagine watching my sister, you know, going through, you know, some kind of suffering like that and just, you know, being okay, even as a little child. I can't imagine being okay. I don't know. Well, talk about crazy. You have this Florida young man, and he's only 21 years old. He's married. And he has clearly a history abusing his wife. And this here, I'm telling you, this is just like men going wild. It seems like on Thursdays, all I'm seeing to pull up are these crazy stories about men. So here's a 21-year-old guy. He's married to this young lady, and he ends up abusing her to the point where he kills her. And I want to go to the end of the story first, because this is what this kind of just got to me. They say he was previously arrested on domestic violence charges after an incident involving his wife earlier this year in January. And now he tells detectives after they interview him that he got angry with the wife, and they okay. Let me get this right, because this here, excuse me, is a little twisted. He didn't show up to work, so the boss called him and asked him, "Why didn't you show up for work?" And he said that he was upset with the wife because she had burned his passport. So when the employer slammed him for being irresponsible, he went on to tell the boss that he had actually done unspeakable things and that he had killed the wife. And what he did was he ended up getting angry, so angry with her, that he slit her throat, picked her up, put her in the bathtub, put on her favorite song, and held her hand until she passed away. And they said when they found her, she was bleeding profusely from her neck and from her stomach. Excuse me. And he had gone through this fit of rage. And he told the detective that as he had gotten angry with her, he could feel himself getting more and more angry, and that he could have stopped himself from killing her. And when the cop asked him why he didn't stop, you know what he said? That he was, that was not how he was raised, and that he was the type of person who always went all the way. Yeah, I'm going to give you a little time to let that marinate. He says, I'm the type of person who always goes all the way. So you could have stopped yourself from killing this woman, but since you had already started, you might as well have finished the job. That's what he's saying. Okay. Now, here's the interesting part. When I did the recap this morning, and I went through, you know, the thing when we talked about the other day of helping people the right way. And when I got to the part about being thorough, I immediately thought about this story here. And I'm like, boy, does this give a new meaning to being thorough. Yeah. That's how you getting down. You started it. You could have stopped it, but you couldn't find yourself stopping because you were the type of person who goes all the way. Oh, brother. Me and these men got something to talk about. Okay, so here's an update to yesterday's story. So they have, which we knew, they have caught up with some of the rowdy revelers from that $8 million mansion party. Yes. They say that. Now, here's the funny part. They, today, in this article last night, they actually show pictures. Now, I don't know where they got these pictures from, but they show pictures of one young man with, what do you call those things? You know how they win the Super Bowl when they have the rings? Yes, he's got a ring on each finger. He's posing with the rings on each finger. A nice close-up, nice selfie. Then you've got another picture with about 7 people. They took a selfie. And you could tell it's from like an Instagram because it has, you know how when you do the group chat and it shows like each person who's in it and they show like how you have them listed in your context. So if I have KL, it shows up KL. If I have Al, it shows up A. If I have Shachi, it shows up S. Yes, that's the way it's in the selfie. Stupid! And they're posing for this selfie. And in the back, they've got the other people. Then they've got these other two sitting, chilling, holding up gang signs. You know, white people. Holding up gang signs in the picture. And now, did you really think? Now, yesterday, they didn't show these pictures. Yesterday, they just showed these cloudy pictures, these snapshots from whatever video footage. But today, my friends, they are showing all some nice close-ups. And, man, guess we turned them in. their parents. Yep. They say some of the party goers were identified by their parents, school resource officers, and local sheriff officers. So that goes back to telling us that, yes, they were local kids. Because we talked about that yesterday. That's what the Due Time Crew said, which was pretty clear. You passed out flyers. So that means that somebody mama was talking to somebody else's mama, and they told that they were going to be away because the owner said that the door was pried open. And let me tell you something. When those parents, those neighbors rather, heard that that house had been broken in and it was a bunch of kids, I keep telling y'all, you know your kids. And the first thing they started doing was they started checking out to find out if it was their kid on site. Trust me when I tell you. You know if your kid would be a part of this melee or not. You know if you were one who was told that these people would be away. And could it have been my kid? Because let me tell you something. These kids are literally posing for these pictures. They are stupid. They are some stupid kids. Stupid kids. They are stupid. They're some stupid kids. They're stupid kids. And if they're saying that the school officers identified them, then again, yeah, because you can tell these are high schoolers. These are high schoolers. And you know, people on the other side of the fence, they look a lot older than we do at 18. Yeah. And that's why they probably couldn't tell whether they were young adults. There's probably some young adults there, too. But the ones that are posing in these pictures, oh, they're kids. They're 17, 18 years old, maybe even as young as 16. So, yeah, parents turned them in. And I guess, let me tell you something else, the parents probably turned them in because they think if they turn them in, yeah, they might lessen some of their accountability and responsibility for all of this going on. Yeah. Because, see, if I was talking to my next-door neighbor and I happened to tell him that we were going on vacation and your kid ended up being one of them who was in my house snapping selfies, yeah, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. So they probably turning those kids in because they're saying, well, no. This is $8 million. All the mess that they caused, parents are going to have to pay for that. Those parents. And, of course, the more they do their research, the more they gather up all these kids, they're talking because the parents are going to be behind it. Tell who else was with you. They're not taking this by themselves. Oh, No. Mm-mm. I ain't eating this one by myself. Oh, where's Brother Al? Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning. Good morning up in here. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks, Brother Al. I'm all right, thanks. How you doing over there?
Oh, man, everything is good. School is winding down. We ain't got too many kids today because there's graduation, so. Everything is everything.
All right. Well, we got some stories to talk about. I mean, I'm not excited with all of these stories, but maybe after I talk to you gentlemen, you know, it'll come back.
Let me do my quote real quick.
Okay.
And it says, you may be disappointed if you fail, but you are doomed if you don't try. That's by my girl, Beverly Sills.
Okay, I like that one. You know, I had a great aunt who used to say to me for years, Brother Al, nothing beats a failure but a try. And can I tell you,
oh, yeah.
She said this about a million times, and it wasn't until I was like 92 years old before I realized what she was talking about. And it used to play in my head after she had passed away. And I was like, what does that mean? And I was like, oh. So I like that quote. I like that quote, Brother Al. Good quote.
Oh, yeah.
So, Brother Al, we got some stuff to talk about. I want to talk about the first story last because I want to hear what our listeners have to say, and I want to hear what you and Pastor Kale have got to say. And hopefully y'all can stimulate some liveliness up in here this morning because I'm not too excited about these stories. But what you going to do? What you going to do? So, you got – I don't want to talk about this couple with these kids here. Okay. Let's talk about the man who slits the wife's throat. So, here he is. He's been known for domestic violence before, as charged as early as this year, January. And he ends up getting angry. He tells the boss that she burned his passport. The wife burned his passport. And he was angry. And he told the detectives that, you know, he got upset and he could feel himself getting more and more and more angry. And he could have stopped himself. And the detective asked him, why didn't you? He said, because you know what? I wasn't raised that way. And, you know, once I start, I go all the way. So he slit her throat, picked her up, put her in the bathtub, put on her favorite song, Brother Al, and held her hand until she passed away.
That's insane. And the crazy thing about it, as I was listening to you talk about that story, is that he's going to get off with a mental issue. And this is where that mental stuff comes in, where they're going to say he had to be crazy to do this. And he's gonna probably be in a mental institution and serve out there. You know, he told the detective that I don't stop. That should have been a red flag to tell you something right there when he said, I wasn't raised that way. And I would hate to see his parents then. If you wasn't raised that way, what your parents told you, listen, don't stop. Something happened, you go all the way to the end. So I would love to hear his parents like, okay, what did you tell this young man? What did you tell this young man? You know, but he gave a warning to the cop. Hey, this is a detective. I don't stop. The detective should have stepped in right then and there and did something.
Well, they did something. They arrested him. They arrested him, Brother Al. Yeah, because this is after the deed was done. You know, I guess the employer was the one who called for them to have a well visit check. And that's how they ended up going to the house, because this is what he told the boss when he missed his shift. The boss called him and asked him, hey, what happened? And he said, you know, my wife burned my passport. And when the boss started, you know, getting on him is when he said, you know, I did some unspeakable things and I killed her. And I believe that's how the cops ended up being sent to the house, because they said they were doing a wellness check. So the only way you do a wellness check is when, you know, people call in for stuff like that. But, you know, you're going to put her favorite song on, Brother Al, and hold her hand until she dies. I hope they don't go for no insanity plea, because that ain't nothing. There's nothing insane about that. That is quite calculated.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now I hope Big Bubba play his song, his favorite song for when he snatched you up.
Yeah, because I really hope they don't go with this insanity plea, because anytime you say I could have stopped myself, nah, that don't say nothing about insane. That says calculated, because you could have. But you decided you weren't going to stop because you always go all the way. Now, no. We not We're not playing this.
Well, Big Bubba going to go all the way, too.
Man, it's sick. And again, you know, the sad part about it is he had a case from January 22. So here we are 6 months later, and she's dead. 6 months later, and she's dead.
Wow.
This ain't no one shot here. No one shot
here. Right.
That's
and you know, this is a message going out to all the women, especially the women who listen to that, listen to the Deuce House, you know, show. If you are in that situation, get away. You know, so far since we've been talking about these stories, it always ended out bad. So if you are in an abusive relationship, I'm not saying that you're not scared or whatever, but please get help and get away because it's not going to end good.
Yeah, and that's always my thing. I'm like, don't leave, run. And, you know, for those who say, I have nowhere to go, and you always have somewhere to go. You always have somewhere to go. You do. You may feel like you're locked in, but you do. You always have somewhere to go. Always. Thank you for that word, Brother Al. All right, let's go to these party revelers. So they've been able to identify, after they, I guess, got pictures of the selfie, Brother Al, and you've got pictures. Now, here's why I'm mad, because they've been talking about the foyer being used as a boxing ring. Well, I see some brown legs in these shorts, if you know what I mean. So I see some brown legs in the background of the videotape, the videographers. But they got these other ones who have taken selfies with five rings, a ring on each finger, and they say that those five rings are now missing. And in sports memorabilia, it looks like those rings that they win from like the Super Bowl, and they have another set of about seven young people with a selfie posing in this picture, and they have another couple of kids sitting holding up gang signs, chilling in a chair. And they are all happily posing. So they said that the parents turned them in. The school, some of the school safety people turned them in. And the sheriff's offices, school resource officers and sheriff's offices. So this just goes to show that, like you all said yesterday, these are some local kids. Now, my take is, yeah, them parents going to turn them in because they don't want to have to pay. They figuring they can get a little less charge if they turn their own children in. What you think?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. They figure, okay, if I turn my children in, that'll take some of the heat off me. But you said it from the jump. You said it from the head. How did y'all know that these people wasn't going to be home? His parents said something, so no, you're going to be accountable as well. And then you said something else that was like, these kids are dumb. I laugh at them. Even me working at the school, they got this little chat that all the kids on. All I sit there is look at the chat and I find out everything. Well, Mr. B, how you found out that? Take a wild guess. So they just post stuff I don't know, their mind don't click to say, okay, Mr. B is going to see that. Oh, I know the fight going to happen at 2:30. Why'd you know that? I'm a genius. I can tell the future. You know, they took everything online. So no, yes, the parents should be held accountable because y'all said something. I know you did. You said something.
Yep, they gonna eat this one big time. That's why they turning their kids in. They ain't stupid. They not stupid. All right, I'm coming. I'm gonna take a break and I'm gonna come back to our other question of the morning. But thank you for joining us, Brother Al. Let's give a a minute to talk to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Yeah. Good morning, Pastor KL in the house.
Woo, that's a new way of saying good morning.
Ah. How are you, Pastor KL?
How you doing over there? What did you say?
I said, how are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. I'm kind of bored this morning, and I don't get bored. I don't want to say I'm bored, but I don't have any liveliness. So, you know, Brother Al kind of gave me a couple of chuckles, so I'm looking for you to turn this party up this morning as it's Friday, and we're about to get up out of here for the week. But I want to talk about this guy who split his wife's throat after he says that, you know, he has a chance to stop. You know, he felt himself getting more angry and more angry, and he had a chance to stop himself, but he didn't. And when he was asked why, he says, you know, I wasn't raised like that. You know, I normally, once I start, I go all the way. And all the way he did, he slit her throat, picked her up, put in the bathtub, put on her favorite song, and held her hand all the way till she stopped breathing. Now, if that's not going all the way, I don't know what's going all the way. But I don't know, you know, what do you mean when you say I was raised that way? You know, I go all the way once I start. Really? Can he get a planet, an insanity deal out of this here?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, he gave a new meaning to, you know, don't be a quitter. You know, he gave a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
To, you know, our parents used to tell us all the time, you know, get back up, get back on the bike. Don't be a quitter. And I guess he wasn't raised like that. He wasn't raised just to fall and cry, you know, or just to stop. You know, which I mean, the whole situation to me is sad. And then you got so emotional at the end, you know, as if it was the Titanic. You know, you play the nice music and you watch the ship go down. You know, I just don't understand. That's beyond insane to me. You know, that's beyond insane.
Yeah, I really hope he doesn't get this insanity business going, because, you know, to me that sounds quite calculated. It does not sound like you were out of your mind at all. You knew exactly what you were doing. And I'm really hoping he pays nicely for this one. I really do, because it's really something that no one should have to, you know, go through. And again,
right.
You know, this happened back in January, where he was abusive. And unfortunately, she didn't get out. She stuck around.
And I'm with you. You and Brother Howell, that, you know, to the women, you know, when a person shows you themselves, that's who they are, you know, all the time. That's who they are. It's never going to be, well, you know, he just had a rough day at work. You know, people have a rough day at work and they come and beat their life. That's not the solution. You know, people don't have, you know, say, a rough day in the street or go through something and then just turn around and want to beat the person that they say that they love. You know, and we need to stop making excuses for the abuse, you know, or maybe I didn't cook the dinner like he liked it, so you got beat. I mean, these are not answers that like you always say, does it meet the crime? No, it doesn't. It doesn't meet the crime. You know, yeah, you failed on dinner. Then we'll try again tomorrow. You know, but I should not get beat or tormented simply because you're having a rough day, because your boss yelled at you, because things didn't go your way. So when people show you themselves, believe them. That is who they are. You can't change them. You can go to God, you know, but because you pray don't mean you have to stay.
No, and you're right. And we talked about this before. And we're going to come back to that one, because I told you, I was talking to you last night, and I told you that we had just watched this movie, Shantice and I, this series, and it talks about that. It speaks about Okay. It speaks about that. So remind me that that's what we're going to come to, please. Please remind me, because I definitely want to touch on what you just said, because that's some serious stuff there. And this is a lot more common than what we believe. Let's talk about this, these revelers and the fact that their parents turned them in, and the school resource officers turned them in, and the local sheriff office turned them in. Yeah, this shows that these are your next door neighbors. These are the kids who go to school with your kids. These are the people that everybody knows. And if you're living in an $8 million home, listen, ain't but so many houses around your house. What you think of that,
I just don't understand how these are the homes in the area, so they should be the elite and the educated, and they do this kind of foolishness, you know, and then, you know, they want to brag about it and go on social media. You know, this is not something you should be proud of. You know, had I did this housewarming or house party or whatever, then I would not have rushed on. I would have not left popcorn so people could follow my trip. You know, to me, that's totally ridiculous. And, yeah, if I was their parent, I definitely would have turned them in. You know, but, I mean, it's not saying that they're going to omit their foolishness as parents. You know, because they have got the leak from somewhere.
Yeah. And I think that's why these parents are now turning them and hoping that would buy them some leeway with some of their responsibility of paying for these damages. Because if these are children, their parents are going to have to pay for this, because the owners are saying they are going all the way with all of the charges. They are pushing this as far as they possibly can. And here's my other thing. So now you two tell me if I'm crazy. I got an $8 million home, right? The owners said that the door was pried open. Really? I got an $8 million home and you can pry a door open? Is it me who has lost my mind, Pastor KL?
Listen, I would have had cameras. I would have had double and triple and quadruple locks. I would have had two dogs in the yard. You know, there'll be no way that you can pry an $8 million door open. First of all, the door had to be $1,000. So what kind of door did you have that you can pry it open? And then who knew that? Who did you have a conversation with that knew that this door was faulty?
Right. That they would even take it. Because anybody in their right mind would automatically assume an $8 million home has some type of alarm system on it. So who would have thought on their own to go and try this without somebody saying or indicating that there was no real ADT on the house? Really? There's some dumb homes.
But this is what I want to say to the listeners as well, because I used to be a property manager, and I will tell you that I can get into anybody's house if you don't put the deadbolt on. If you don't put your deadbolt on it, and you just let, you know, some folks just got that slam door where it locks itself, and everybody thinks that that's a good lock, I can get in anybody's house if you don't put a deadbolt in. So y'all better be careful.
Wow. All right. Hear that. Brother Al, you got an $8 million home. Somebody could pry your door open?
Not at all. If you got an $8 million house and somebody was able to pry your door, they didn't gyps you. Okay? My door should come with laser beams. my, when you get close to my door, the door should be talking to you. If you get 10 feet of my door should be saying, stay clear of the property, you've been warned. You know, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. The door should have a mind of its own. $8 million, the door should have a mind of its own. Please stand clear of the door or you will be taken down. This is your last warning.
I don't get it. When I read the thing, I'm like, oh, the owner said that the door was pried open. Okay, you're a dummy. Because ain't nowhere in the world you could have had a door on an $8 million home that was so flimsy the lock could be picked and pried open. That's just dumb. That's just dumb. All right, gentlemen. I want to go back to this story about the little boy we did a couple of months ago. Now a new story has surfaced about this 8-year-old bully. Mom is saying that there's a video now that shows that he was not the bully, that these children, 4 children, including her son Stefano, 8, little Dominic, 6, who was caught on fire and suffered all the burns, that they were all playing with fire. They were lighting fires. This was all on video. Lighting fires, kicking around in soccer balls. And little Dominic stepped on a plastic cup that was filled with gasoline, and that's how he got caught on fire. And mom to Stefano, the so-called bully, says that, you know, he's really been suffering behind this story, that he was a bully, and that, you know, he's been ostracized now. And he says that, you know, some kids have been saying, get away from me. Don't come near my house because you might set me on fire. That's what some of the kids have said. And that's what he says. And mom is saying that, you know, some of these kids were as close to him as brothers. And now they don't want to have anything to do with him. So I got to thinking. And I said to myself, well, wait a minute. Now, I ain't got a whole lot of friends. You know, you two are one of the, you know, a couple of the friends that I do have. Is that what we do as friends? Now, we know we're talking about children here, but I'm now talking about adults. You know, when we hear of someone doing something, do we automatically believe what we hear and we stop being your sister or your brother or your bro? Or do we, you know, just maybe shy away a little bit? How do we handle, you know, this, how do we handle this relationship going forward? And I'll start with you, Brother Al.
Well, you know, being in that situation and seeing it happen, because I work with the children, and it's a little different children because they're not mature enough yet to truly understand. But if I hear something, I go to the person. You know, I either ask them or I'll just watch them to see what's going on. Because sometimes people will come tell you stuff or try to break up a relationship because, you know, of jealousy. You know, I've had it done to me. You know, being popular, playing ball and DJing and stuff like that. I have rumors spread. But, you know, again, true friends will come up and be like, yo, what's going on? Or they'll defend you like, yo, that person is not like that. So I'm going to check the story out first. You know, I'm going to come to you and ask you, bro, listen, what's going on? I'm hearing such and such. And, you know, they may lie to you. But, nah, that ain't happening. Okay, now I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch you. And I'm going to make sure that you're telling me the truth. You know, so that's how I handle it.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, is this how we handle, you know, our relationships where once we hear... I'm sorry. I just got a stupid gif and I'm kind of laughing. you know, once we hear about these things that our friends or our bro or whoever, you know, remember she's saying, you know, they're close like brothers. They're supposed to be brothers. You know, is this what we do? We just automatically just stay away from you and ostracize you and, you know, kick you to the curb?
Well, I don't, you know, I reflect now on about 30-something years when I found out that you were pregnant with Sean Keith, and they said it could have been mine. You know, I didn't just walk
oh
away from you.
Oh my lord!
I didn't just walk away from you. I had to come to you
oh
and talk to you about
God.
It.
Oh my God! All right, people.
And then Al got in my
inbox.
Oh no,
we cannot continue with the story. No, we cannot continue with the story. Oh my Lord, we cannot continue with the story. Okay, we're gonna talk you one up to Pastor Keo sipping on a yak this morning. I told you, you know, maybe he was just he don't know what else to say. Oh my goodness! I my whole life just flashed before my eyes. Oh my goodness! I finished saying, you know, you and Brother Al were one of my two friends. Now, Brother Al, you are my only friend on this line. Because Pastor Keo, I no longer know him. I don't know. If I see him on the street, I'm passing him by. No. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh,
I'm
my
sorry.
God.
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
I'm picking myself up off the floor. I'm off the floor.
Well, at least now you know.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Oh God.
In the real world, in your real life, is this how we handle our friends? You know, do we just brush, you know, things off and just say, you know what, I'm moving on. I ain't got no time for this. You know, this is supposed to be your brother, and this is how you treat him when you hear things.
Yeah, you know, that's the problem. You know, I've learned that some people don't like you, not because of what you did, but because of what somebody else said. So, you know, they don't even know who you are or you know, know if you're guilty of that. And they've automatically formed their opinion of I'm not dealing with you because she said or because he said. Now, if you raise Fire Marshal Bill and it's to the fact that you are burning down things, then, yeah, I have to be cautious. Does it mean that we can't be friends? We might be able to be friends, you know, but in a different capacity. You can't come to the house. You know, we're not playing with fireworks. You know, there's certain things that we ain't going to do together, you know, because it might trigger something. We ain't cooking. We ain't barbecuing. You know, you don't get no lighter fluid at the grill. You know, stuff like that. You know, but you know, again, some folks already form an opinion by what somebody else says. So if you get into an argument with somebody else and now they don't like you, okay, now we don't like you.
Yeah. And I don't know how friendships go these days because, you know, my friends are all loyal and I don't ever have those things that I concern myself with. But I just don't know what they do these days and time. You know, this is a new set of people. And this might be something that, you know, they do. We've got some comments from the listeners. hold on a second. Shachis, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How
good
are
morning.
You?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am well. Well, now that we have raised Fire Marshal Bill, he's so dumb. Now that we've raised Fire Marshal Bill.
Let me tell
you
something.
What are the listeners saying?
Okay, a comment was sent in saying, I ain't got much friends either, but I think if I heard one of my friends did something crazy, I would give them an opportunity to tell their side, and then depending on how that goes, move from there. If I felt it was necessary to stop messing with him or her, it would be immediate after telling them you were wrong.
All righty. Okay, I saw another one like Pastor KL and Brother Al, you know, giving you the benefit of the doubt. Any other comments?
No, that's all we have so far.
Okay, well, what do you say? How would you handle
what?
It? Are you just walking off, or are you giving them the benefit of the doubt?
Well, considering that now my only friends are the ones I go to church with, I have to give them the benefit of the doubt. He's strictly on Mother Peavy. I have to give them the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, when I think about who my friends are, that would be like, what you talking about? They make sure it's like, you must have slapped them. You must have slapped them. They must have took my advice and lit you on fire. I don't know, but no, I would have to hear what happened. I would have to hear what happened. And then, like the listener said, according to what I hear, you know, you'd be like, all right, let me get away from you because I don't want to be next on a fire hit list. So I may have to end this friendship because I just don't want to be around when you get mad again. But, yeah, but you have to. And see, the people use this friend word a little too loosely. If they're really your friend, and you know your friend, just like you always say, Papa Steph, you know your kid, you know your friend. You know, but you hear something like that, you still have to go and talk to them and find out. Even if you believe it, because you know your friend. Because I have some friends that it wouldn't surprise me if I heard something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you still got to go and see, like, what happened.
Okay. Well, thank you, and thank you from the listeners. I agree. Get that benefit of the doubt, listener. You got to get your benefit of the doubt, and give the benefit of the doubt, rather. Thank you so much, Shanti.
Amen. You're welcome.
All right. Here's another thing that I wanted to bring up. You know, here you have a mother who's raising a child, and so, Brother Al, you have this son or this daughter, and you see that they're now being ostracized by the ones that are so close to you, quote unquote, that they're like a brother. What do you tell them about that so-called friend?
Well, I'll try my best to explain something. You know, if this was your true friend, okay, they wouldn't have just cut you off like that. You know, they would have came and talked to you and say, listen, what's going on? Did you really do that? You know, people use that word friend so loosely. You know, people, I know a lot of people. People, you got a lot of friends. No, I don't. I have a lot of associates. I know them, but they're not my friend. And I would just try to, you know, comfort that child because it's hard because let me tell you, kids are cruel. You know, once they find something on you, they don't care what come out their mouth. So I would try my best to, you know, tell them, listen, they're not your friend because if they was your friend, they wouldn't do that. Then we would have to have a talk with the school. Okay, listen, you need to bring these kids because, again, we talk to these kids and explain to them that, hey, listen, it was a mistake. He did not do that. So the school got to get involved, too, to try to help because, you know, stuff like this lead to a child coming to school and shooting up the school or come to the school and just flipping off. So we all got to pitch in together to help that child.
All right, all right. Pastor Kale, what advice would you give your child if these were ones that are supposed to be so close that they're like, you know, their brothers, you know, what would you tell that child?
Well, I'm a little different and a little more, I guess, outspoken because to me, that would be a lesson well learned. You know, you have to choose wisely, you know, who you give the title of friendship to. Because if people are so easily and readily to leave you, then they're not your friends. And sometimes you have to see it just that plainly. You know, yes, it hurts. You know, yes, you're going through some turmoil, but thank God it happened now. Because what happened had you really needed them on your side, you know, and they turned their back against you. You know, see people for who they are.
Stop giving these titles out. Stop. You know, I've learned that sometimes we care more about certain people than they care about us. You know, they only care about us as well as we can, as much as we can give. Once we can no longer give, or there's no longer a need for us, then we're no longer friends. Then they find out, they conjure up some argument so that they can walk away. Let them walk away. Bitch, too shall pass.
All righty, all right.
Did we lose you? Brother Al, you still there?
Pastor Steph will be right
back. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I guess you didn't like my comments. You left.
Okay. Well, you're now listening to the Due Time Show with Pastor KL and Brother Al.
And this too shall pass.
Thank you. That hasn't happened in a while.
We're getting ready to take over.
Do your job. That's something we have to, and that was my thought, you know, as she's saying, oh, you know, some of these people were like brothers to him. Well, the conversation doesn't need to be had with the other mother. That's the conversation you need to be having with the mothers of the people who were supposed to be like brothers to him. You know, I think you're talking to the wrong group of people. There's something else you said, Pastor Kale, earlier, and I've heard this a million times. It's been said on the show, and I want to take an opportunity to finish this sentence. It's when they show you who they are, believe them. What are we talking about here, Brother Al? You know, we're not talking about just friends in that sense. What other thing comes to your head when we need to, you know, really face what people and who people really are? And what other times? Did I lose you, Brother Al? All right. What other area would you say, you know, when a person shows you who they are, believe them? Not only in this,
you know,
friendship.
In a lot of different relationships, you know, sometimes, you know, I think I heard Lady Tanika says it a lot, you know, where they bring on the representative when y'all first meet. And y'all going on, and it's cool, and it's great, and lovey-dovey, and then all of a sudden, you know, we get into an argument. Listen to the argument, because some things that people say is really what they meant. You know what I mean? It's just not I got caught in the moment of the argument. You know, it's what I meant to say, what I've been wanting to say for a long time. But I've been trying to represent the representative so I don't look ugly. You know, but you know, when you start listening, and seeing how hurtful they can be, and seeing how, you know, they can just come out their mouth and say stuff like, you know, without a care, that's who they are. You know, so if you're dealing with it now, you're going to deal with it next week. It's not just because they're angry now. This is really how they feel. So if they tell you this, you know, don't sugarcoat it with, oh, he was just mad. No, this is what he thought. If he's talking about your mama now, he don't like your mama. It ain't because mama did something. He don't like your mama. If he's talking about your children, he ain't really as close to your children as you think he is. So you need to be careful.
Absolutely, absolutely. Brother Al, are you back?
I'm back, Pastor Steph. Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Absolutely, absolutely, Pastor Kale. You know, when people are arguing and they say some nasty things, you better trust that stuff. Because, see, I still go with out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Brother Al, what you got? Absolutely.
Okay, can you repeat that question? I didn't hear it.
I was saying, you know, Pastor KL says from time to time, and we've heard this, you know, when a person shows you who they are, believe them. And, you know, it was used in one context this morning, and I wanted to see, you know, how else could we use that? You know, we're talking about friends. You know, well, this is a time where they're showing you where they're not really a friend. But what else can we actually use that phrase to become aware and really get to the reality of who we're dealing with?
Pastor Carol said a mouthful on that, which is true. It definitely comes out of anger, and it's like, wow, that's how you felt? And then, oh, I said that because I was mad. No, you didn't. You said that because that's how you felt, and you waited for an opportunity to get it off your chest. And it's also showing when you need that person. You know, you're going through something, and you need this person. And, oh, I can't help you today. You know, I got to go take care of this, and I got to go do that. Like, wow, I thought you was my friend. You know, you're supposed to be like my brother. You can't be there for me when I need you. So all that, it's like Pastor Carol said, when somebody shows you themselves, believe it, because that's who they are. Or you have somebody when they drink it, and they'll tell you this, oh, well, you know, I said that because I was drunk. No, you didn't. It was on your chest, and there was an opportunity for you to say it, and you did it. So you definitely have to believe people when they show you themselves. That's who they are. Abusive person, they get mad, they want to slap you up, then when they calm down, oh, well, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, I was angry. That's who you are. That's who you are. A person that's jealous. These are people makeup. A person that's jealous. Okay? That's who they are. A jealous person would never stop being jealous. I stress that to people. A jealous person would never, ever stop being jealous. That is their makeup. There's no cure for that. So when they show you who they are, believe it.
Well, okay. So when you say a jealous person is never going to, are you saying... You need to qualify that, because if you don't put that extra piece on the back end, then that makes people think that God can't do anything with that jealous person. So you're going to have to make sure you say, unless
right.
God deals with you, because...
I'm sorry. Unless God deals with you, yeah, definitely. We know God can do all things. So I want to definitely clear that up. All things God can do. And this person has to be wanting for God to... Help them out, help them do it. So, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Untouched by God, if you don't position yourself, you're absolutely right. You know, nothing is going to stop them, because they're going to go all the way. They're going all the way. Pastor KL, I told you to bring my memory back to something. Did you remember?
No, my memory left.
Don't worry, God can fix that. God can fix that.
It went all the way. Thank you, Shanti. I did remember the series we watched. I was trying to remember the point I was trying to make regarding the series, and we were watching this series, you know. And I will give a shout out. Excellent series. Thank you. The series. Under the banner of heaven, and on Hulu, is streaming from Hulu now, and it is about the Latter-day Saints. It takes a closer look into the Latter-day Saints and how they treat their women and what they think of their women. And we were talking about we were talking about a little while ago about, you know, the men and, you know, how they treat the women and how you stay in these abusive relationships. You and Brother Al talked about, you know, leaving, you know, and that was one of the things that, you know, they are really they really brainwash you in this particular Latter-day Saints Mormon faith, if you will. And, you know, oh, I know what I was talking about. We're talking about the church's failure and they had a scene where the husband, it was a group of, it was a family, and the whole thing was about a family, huge family, and how they just have children on children on children, and how they manipulate these women, and how the leaders are manipulative as well. And they had this issue where they knew this woman was being abused, and they talked her into staying to help change the husband. And when you have this, we talked about this before, when you have this leadership from church where they brainwash these women into staying, it's like, where do you go? You know, where do you go from there when you are ingrained in, you know, believing that God is your, you know, creator, and, you know, Heavenly Father is who we follow. Where do you go from there, you know, Brother Al? Where do you go when you can't trust your husband? You can't trust leadership. Where do you go? How do you move forward in this scenario?
Well, again, yeah, that's a tough one, and I think that's what confuses people so much. And you have to go to God for yourself. You know, you have to get away from man, okay, because man gonna fail you every time. So you got to go to God for yourself and pray and ask God to show you and give you answers, you know. And once you do that and you believe in it, see, people, one of people's biggest things is that they pray or they ask God for something. It's like, oh, I hope he do it. I'm not sure if he's going to do it. No, you got to go with confidence. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to pray and ask him for answers, and he's going to give me answers. And that's the only other way you can go. Because, again, you went to your husband. That ain't working. Now you got this leader that's supposed to be under God. That ain't working, you know. So you got to go to the man yourself, man himself. Pray to him and listen. Open your spiritual ears and listen.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor KL, you know, we talked about this before a couple of times, you know, since we've been on the air. And, you know, again, you know, this woman, she had the right thought, you know. She was not happy with this entire family of men who were, you know, really brainwashing and mistreating the women. And she went to to the leaders, and the leaders told her that she needed to stay so that she could be, you know, the one who changes the way they think and who they are. And that's why I kind of pressed on that, you know, if they show you who they are, then believe them type of thing. So then where do you go from there?
Well, you know, as Brother Al says, you have to go to the rock, you know, to the rock that's higher than I. You know, you got to go to God. You know, and I've often said, you know, the man is only the head of the house if he follows God. If you know that he's no longer following God, then he is no longer the head of the house. So he don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. You know, so therefore, you have to do this stuff and know God for yourself. Because when you go to the gate, well, you're not going to be on the buddy system. Well, I was subservient to my husband, and I did everything I was. No, God don't want to hear all that. You know, you got to know for yourself that listen, this is not the way of God, so I need to go another way. You know, and you got to stand flat-footed on the word. You got to have the word on the inside, and if you stand up for God, God will stand up in you. So God will not allow you to be in a situation that's not of him if you want to come out of it. A lot of times, you know, women and all men, we stay in situations because we think ain't nobody else gonna want me with six kids. Ain't nobody else gonna tolerate me. I can't get nothing better. He keeps saying that, oh, nobody else wants you. She keeps on saying, who you think gonna do you like I do you? So we get caught up into that mentality that we stay stuck. And we stay stuck, and our spirit and our souls is being destroyed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Men, you have done a fantastic job. You know, just giving quick tips and words of advice here today. And we thank God for your contribution into the conversation. And we pray you have a blessed weekend.
Amen. You do the same.
Okay. You too.
Thank you. Ah. So we had a plethora of tips this morning. You know, we kind of bounced around. You know, a lot of different things came up. And, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, we gather up all the little tidbits and gems that we can, you know, here today. And before, I don't want to go too far because I want to, you know, save that for my closing. But we are at the point where we are going to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, oh God, for being so kind and so generous as you lend us this breath today. Thank you for allowing us to open our eyes so that we can see such beautiful, beautiful palatial wonders that you have granted us with. Thank you, God, for just awakening us in our good health. I don't care how bad we're doing. There's someone who's always doing worse. Thank you for waking us up with friends. Thank you, God, that even if the friends are few, if there's only two, we thank you, God, for just surrounding us with who we need in our corner. Thank you, God, that today we had an opportunity again to talk about, you know, what friends look like and who your friends really are and what friends really do you like that. And there was somebody today who needed that conversation. And there's someone who's going to need that conversation whenever they listen to this episode. And we're grateful, God, because we know that you have provided us with a friend above all friends, a friend who has really displayed what love truly is. Greater love has no man than this, than a man laid down his life for a friend. Thank you, God, for just providing us with what a friend looks like, what it feels like, and what we've come to know a friend really is. And we know, God, that man will never match your son in this friend department, but we know that you have surrounded us with people who truly love us, people who truly have us and our best interests at heart. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just alerting us even when things are not right and teaching us the way to repair these relationships, how we need to care for one another, how perfection will not always exist, and everyone has an off day. And thank you for teaching us how to be a friend. As friends are being provided to us, let us pick up those tools and learn how to be a friend. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, even for the news that we get. And sometimes it hurts to talk about it. Sometimes we laugh at it. Sometimes we shake our heads at it. But at the end of the day, it's all for our growth and our learning. And we thank you, God, that you allow us to get to see on a daily basis where we're not, how you help to keep us under your foot, where we don't move, not because you're controlling us, but because we are submissive and we surrender our lives to you so that we can stay underneath you. in a reverent way. Thank you. Thank you. And we ask you, God, to touch the lives of everyone we've talked about here today in this news, God. Again, we pray for, you know, the two little boys and how they have been portrayed in this particular news story, God. And we pray that, you know, if little Stefano is innocent, that you would help to heal him and that he would learn a valuable lesson at the age of 8. That the other little Dominic would learn whatever he needs to learn at the age of 6. You allow us to go through these things as early as 6 and 8 at times so that we can learn from very early and we can grow up with these things. We ask the Heavenly Father to be with a couple who was abusive, you know, and they may not have another opportunity to do this again and to get it right, to treat children better because they've learned a lesson. But God, we, again, as yesterday, we ask you to just help them have a repentant heart. And we ask you that the onlookers, the children that have watched this, that they too would not be scarred. And Lord, for the child who receives, for the children out here who are living through abusive relationships at the hands of their parents, grandparents, their adoptive parents, foster parents, caregivers, teachers, coaches, people that they trust, people that they have come to love. We ask you, God, to just do your greatest healing in their life. Lord, we're just asking you to be with the gentleman who killed his wife, who says that he wasn't raised like that. That, God, that you would just touch his heart, that he would not be able to walk off with some insanity, please. But that you would do the perfect work that needs to be done, that not just he would learn, that he would benefit from, but that others would. That if it stopped one other person from committing such a heinous act, thank you. If someone on this line is has the propensity to be able to get there, we ask God that you just put a hold right now. Stop it right now. Even if it wouldn't be me splitting someone's throat, but it would be something else. But just allow it to jolt their life. That they would just think just that extra minute that could turn them and, I mean, just completely around, that you would get the glory out of that life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for just loving us and just treating us so well, investing in us each and every day, that regardless of what frame of mind we're in when we get on this broadcast, that we don't leave the way we came in, that something touched our life, some word that was given, some story that was read. We ask you, God, to just continue to use us as the Due Time crew, that we would lay our lives on the line so that your children could live and have a better life, that they could rethink the things that they do or they may consider doing, but that you would just use us in a mighty way, ways we haven't even thought of being used. We thank you so much, because when we woke up 3 years ago, we never thought that this is where we would be. We never thought we would be imparting into people's lives every day. And we thank you, God, for all the lessons that have been learned, all of the scriptures that have been read, all of the studying that has taken place, Thank you. Thank you. So that we may evangelize and disciple and draw lives closer to you on a daily basis. We give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. We have something that Brother Al needs to say. Are you there, Brother Al?
Yes, I'm here.
Is there something that you wanted to say?
Oh, it's not prepared. I got information late.
All right, so we will definitely be back
Monday
so we can get your information together. And we
definitely
thank you again. All right, have a wonderful one.
No problem. Okay, you too. Thank you.
All right, you know, every once in a while, Brother Al has some stuff that he wants to do a little research on, and we will wait. We'll wait. But in the interim, you know, as I was praying and thinking about how God is so good to each and every one of us, you know, what can we say to a God that continuously looks beyond our fault and finds our need on a regular basis? On a regular basis. We don't have to beg. We don't have to plead. Just go to God for what he already wants for our life, and we know that we can definitely have those prayers answered, definitely. And you know, giving God thanks for each and every member of the Due Time crew, how they get up each and every day prepared to be used by God. And it's something, again, like I said, 3 years ago, we would have never thought that, you know, we would be here. Ain't no way in the world I would think that, you know, hey, we would be every morning, you know, talking about the news and, you know, laying ourselves on the line and just doing what we do from day to day and seeing how blessed we are through the news. I always tell you, my mother used to always say, you ain't got no blankety blank friends. You got associates. You know, but, and she never stopped saying it. Even as adults, she never stopped saying it. Almost all her children are adults and, you know, never stopped telling us. And again, you know, a person who's been in the street, you know, her and my father, they're street people. They'll tell you. They know them streets. And, you know, they know how people can turn on you. And that's what we were talking about today, and that's why I wanted to kind of park there. Because, you know, it's really underestimated how we can get our feelings hurt. You know, again, if they show you who they are, you better believe them. And it doesn't always mean that you have to sever ties, just like it was said. But sometimes you need to back up for self-preservation just to make sure that you don't do what you're not supposed to do. You know, the Bible tells you, do not become friends. Don't stick close to those angry people because you may become an angry person. Or, you know, Shantice always says, I'm a recovering angry person. You know, if you know that that's your weakness and you have this person that you're with and you're always at odds and you're always arguing, and yeah, you don't need to be around that person. You need to limit the time you spend around that person. And I've had to do that with people who are very close. You know, just really, really make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and keeping myself back, because I know this. If I talk to you just a little too long, we're going to be there. And somebody's got to keep their head. Somebody's got to make sure that they're on point. Somebody's got to be the first one to stop talking. And let me tell you something. When those people get you to where they get you, and now you're all riled up and you're out of sorts. And, you know, it takes a long time to get yourself sometimes back to where you're supposed to be, to where God would be pleased. You're going to have to make sure you limit your time around that person. Because if they're going to cause you to sin, because it's fine to be angry as long as you don't sin. And then you have to think about it. Is it really fine for me to be angry? If I have the potential of getting there, then it's no longer fine for me to be angry. Because then I'm not going to be able to control too well what I do. So we need to make sure that we stay under the watchful eye and hand of God, and we don't let go of that garment. Because if so, we may end up in a very, very, very bad space. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my men, for taking us into a thought-provoking weekend. Thank you for listening, being a part of the conversation, and hanging out with us each and every day. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Please do not miss the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. You know, Sunday is what? Ah, the Word Prayer Project. So we will be gathering together in the room. We don't know what God is going to have us praying about. And we don't know what we're going to need to pray about. So make sure that you set those alarms for 9 o'clock on Sunday night. Okay? Make sure you don't miss that opportunity. Now, I want to do something a little different today. We've had a wonderful week. Short, but wonderful week. And I want to take this opportunity to have a little, you know, jam session with you. And let's have a good time going out together in a good jazzy mode. Have a wonderful weekend. And Godspeed. Until Sunday, I love you.